Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you are joining me on this 19th day of November. And we're going to be looking at questions that have been submitted to me prior to the election. And I am recording this prior to the election, so I don't know at this point, you know, who's won and what's going on. And I'm sure there's a lot of mischief going on. So I just want you to know that. So if I don't sound like whoopee or sad about whatever happened, I'm neither. I am just trying to answer the questions given to me. And I am getting more and more questions about good and evil, life and meaning. And it's very interesting to me that this election and all of this has spurred on so much. If you have a question you would like to ask, you may email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. And you can come to the website at aspire.org, and you can email me from there if you like. There's all sorts of things on the Aspire website, radio programs, TV programs, commentaries, podcasts, videocasts, all sorts of things to be of service to you with. So I hope you will go and avail yourself of any and all of these things. I'm grateful for your participation. We're going to talk about good and evil today, or good over evil, as most people want to think of it. And remember, one person's good is another person's evil in this world. We all have to be aware of that to some degree in our life. So the things that would benefit one person might not benefit another. And here is where we come into a state of integrity, questioning our own integrity and our own inner stature, which most people do not really regard as being very important and do not see as essential to their life. But whether or not we understand that, or whether or not we are involved in our own stature, our own inner life, is a matter of really being responsible, not only to others and ourselves, but to our life. And our life is a whole separate affair. So let's get into the questions, and I'll try to be more specific. The first question comes from John. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, why is evil so prevalent now? It seems that it is more than ever before, John. John, it isn't more prevalent than ever before. What you're seeing now is the dark underbelly of people, our country, people who live in this country who think that it gives them the right to do whatever they want to do, to live however they want to live, blah, 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 without any regard to the bigger picture and those who are different than themselves. We look at it from the point of view of a person's ability to earn a living. We look at it as who has the most toys, who has the most objects, who has the most security. We have a lot of really strange ideas about what the meaning of life is. And for a lot of people, the meaning of life is not very important at all. Not in the sense of the authentic. Authentic love, authentic life. These are things that are immortal. And what makes a person immortal but the way they hold love on the inside of themselves, the way they sit with the presence of love within them? It is not about controlling this world, because there is no way we can control this world. There is nothing we can do about the world. The world is the world unto the world and to itself. And this is just exactly what we're trying to control, is to make it the way we would like it to be. And it just doesn't work that way. So you ask, why is evil so prevalent now? It's coming out more and more, this dark underbelly of our emperor of all malice, as I like to call it. This emperor brings about all sorts of dark, how do I put this to you in a way that makes sense? DNA urges, instincts to stay alive. They're primeval. They're primordial. And these instincts to stay alive have now become the emotional pattern and the emotional mindset of most people. They live in this mindset, in these emotional patterns, and they stay there forever and ever and ever. They don't really move much from it. And they sustain not wisdom, but mischief. So we're looking at the whole idea of evil as that which betrays a person's life, betrays their consciousness, betrays their heart, their authentic heart, their goodness. I know a lot of people who just simply have no idea what the meaning of their life is actually all about. They absolutely have no idea what it is, and nor do they care to know. I know many people like that. They have their own ideas that their family and genetically seem predisposed to, and they're comfortable with those ideals and ideas, and they don't want to move them. They don't want to change them. They don't even really want to explore them. They just want to say, okay, I've covered that base, I've covered that base, and I've covered that base. And that's the way they choose to live, just covering their bases. So instead of having something noble or virtuous, and I'll give you something noble and virtuous, we tend to go into this dark side of ourselves, which movies and Hollywood and all sorts of stories about the devil, the evil, the Lucifer, the whole thing gets glamorized. Vampires also, and you can't talk people out of it. There are crazy people out there who really think there are vampires and things like that, and this is the way they live. This has really affected the world. We see people thinking, saying, and doing things we would never have imagined before, maybe in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even the 80s and 90s, but now it's all out there. So for now, it is all about entertainment. It's all about self-righteousness. Remember, John, when self-righteousness in you meets self-preservation, or self-preservation meets self-righteousness, that is when the wheels on the wagon fall apart and we have no sense of what the authentic meaning of our life is. Let me give you an example, okay? The evil. So, John, you have a product that you have come up with, okay? It's a real simple analogy. Any of us can get this. And this product will benefit you, and it's it will appeal to the mentality of the average person, okay? This product will also do a lot of damage in the wrong hands, and it is likely that it's going to fall into the hands of someone who is going not to do it for noble purposes or for the virtue of it or to even help humankind, just to make money. That's all it's about. And there will be many people who will be hurt by this making of this product because they're not mature enough to handle it, to understand it, to use it in a way which not only helps them, but maybe helps others. Even in the manufacturing of this thing, this object, this whatever, widget, people will be hurt. It will cause cancer and all sorts of health issues. It will destroy little towns and mom and pop places. Now, the question is, John, with all the money, the billions of dollars you're going to make off of this, would you make it anyway? And that is the dilemma. And I know the excuse, well, someone else do it. If I don't, why don't I just do it? That kind of thing. I'll never forget when Steve Jobs walked on stage that fateful day and said, very few people have the privilege, I'm paraphrasing him, the privilege of a game changer. And today I am going to present a game changer. No one knew what the iPhone could do, would do. And I wonder if Steve knew what was going to happen and how the phone was going to be used. It isn't his responsibility how it's going to be used. But knowing the American public, I wonder if he would have done it. I'm sure he would have. And I'm sure most people would. They don't think about hurting humankind. They think about their money, what they're going to get, the whole thing, their own benefit. So, John, who knew? Who knew that the whole idea of the iPhone was going to set into motion all of the tweeting and the stuff that we see in this world today? And who knew that this was going to be a big problem in our culture, our society? And who knew this was going to spread ugliness all over, get hacked, send misinformation? Who knew? But that is the evil of the primitive side of us, the part of us that lives in the urges and instincts of human survival. So why is evil so prevalent now? I'll tell you why. Because we want to survive. And we believe the only way we can survive is through this primordial way of living and instinct. And because that makes us ruthless, we live in the world we live in, with the people we live with. And what are you going to do? You'll either go along with it or you will transcend it. And the chances of transcending it for most people are nil to nothing. And that's why. Hope that answered your question. And please forgive me. Namaste. Okay, the next question from Kathy, who, again, doesn't tell me where she lives. Why do people like evil over good, Greg, such as Trump? Kathy. We like people who are, quote-unquote, leaders, who say the things that are going on in the voice within us that we both hear and don't hear, our unconscious mind. A shrewd minister, a shrewd politician, a shrewd teacher will understand what people want to hear and then speak it out loud. Once it is spoken three times out loud, the average person with the pedestrian mentality, who has no sense of the bigger picture of this world and their own life, will adhere to it, especially if it has to do with something that is regarded as a personal freedom or regarded as something that will make them happier, more popular, better, blah, blah. Especially if they can make money off of it. Hence politics, religion. You know, we can go right down the line here. So I have to ask myself, what is the meaning of my life? What sustains my meaning? Having a living isn't enough. Making money isn't enough. Surviving is not enough. That's why we keep accentuating what we do, this what you call evil over good. But what do we do when we think what is good turns to evil? No one knew that the iPhone was going to be used the way it has been used. It isn't a bad thing. I have an iPhone. I do. Do I get involved in Twitter and all the common stuff that most people get involved with texting? No, I don't. I use it to communicate with my students. I basically use it for information regarding my health, the weather, and that's about it. If I have enough money in the bank not to bounce a check, you know, that's helpful. So you have it as a basic tool. But the way it has been used, because of our low self-esteem, and here is the real key, Kathy, politicians speak to low self-esteem. People suffer from the fear of being lonely. People aren't afraid of death as much as they are afraid of being alone. So the phone allows them to think in terms of not being alone. And because of our genetic instinct and our DNA, we like conflict. And we like to make conflict. And we like to make it interesting, controversial, something that we can take a stand in or a side on. I'm on this side, you're on that side, let's fight. And that's the way most people think. So why do people like evil over good? Because people think that evil helps other people. That my condemnation of you or my criticism of you is helping you. If I seem like I have more than you do in any given thing, whether it be in friendships or popularity or money or possessions, then people want to follow the person that has all of that, which they want deep in their unconscious mind, and they want to follow that. They want to become that. I heard people say that the reason they voted for Trump was because they wanted a businessman. He isn't a businessman. He's a pitch man, and you really got to understand that. He's an Ed McMahon. Only he doesn't sit next to Johnny Carson. He sits in the power of government. And whether you know it or not, voting for him or not doesn't really matter here, because he has affected your life and he's only thinking about himself. And that's really what it's all about with us. If somebody can hone in on your unconscious mind, if someone can understand what you're talking about within yourself all the time, maybe you don't even know what you're talking about to yourself all the time, but you are having this conversation with your unconscious mind and with your desires, with your genetics, even with your DNA. This conversation is going on over and over repeatedly. If you hear it, then you understand that it's a desire. If you don't hear it and you're having this conversation inside and this flow of thought inside, it's just as bad, because then you participate in it, making yourself either a victim or you're setting goals for yourself and things like that. You've got to understand the evil lives within us. It isn't other people. Money is not the root of all evil. It is Greg that is the root of his own evil. It is Kathy that is the root of her own evil. So you have to see your mechanism. What incites you with your mechanism to think and live and do the way you think and live and do? And if you don't explore that, if you can't explore that because you're so busy thinking that that conversation you're having with your unconscious mind is real and is valid and is important to you, then there is nothing anyone can say to you. You're going to go off the rails socially, economically, and spiritually off the rails. So that is why. Why do people like evil over good? Because, well, whatever good is, I don't think in terms of good and evil, but nevertheless, the average person does. You start to realize it lives within us, And we propagate ideas and ideals that are very ugly, and we want to keep them that way. We want to be right. We think you should take a position in life. And if someone speaks to your unconscious mind and agrees with that conversation you're having on the inside of yourself, you're going to think, that's the guy for me, or those are the people that love me, or whatever. And that is the end of the story. Kathy, thank you for your beautiful question, and please forgive me. Namaste. The last question, I'm running out of time here. What is the devil? Now get this. What is the devil doing to America? Herb from Texas. I'm kind of grinning because the devil, who I call the mortal side of us, our human heart, is the emperor of all malice. I'm going to say something to you, Herb, you're not going to like, but it is the truth. Human love is the culprit of all mischief in this world. You call it evil, I call it mischief. We create a great evil by listening to our human heart that is based in the premise of the emperor of all malice, our primitive urges, I've talked about it before, our primitive instinct, creating a them and an us, all of that creates all sorts of evil in our life. And a lot of the pain and sorrow that we have in this world is based in that idea of considering, as the Buddha taught, what is right and wrong, good and bad, a mindful mind, a mind that is no longer seeking to consider what is good and bad or right and wrong, is a clear mind. That's what the Buddha taught. And it is very true. The absence of my desire, my ambition, my pride, is a clear mind. Now you've got to ask yourself, do you want that in your life? Do you want this absence of, shall we say, pride, vanity, fear? Are you willing to let go of what your human heart says? See, we have assigned to the human heart our biological instincts, our genetic inheritance, and we think in terms of our human heart being more important than anything else in our life. So when someone says, this is how I feel, that doesn't mean anything. It just means that's the state of their human heart. And that human heart has ruined their entire life because that human heart set into motion all sorts of behaviors and beliefs that have nothing to do with love. So when you're feeling your human heart and you feel in your heart that you're doing the right thing, I can guarantee you it has something to do with primal instinct. It has something to do with self-righteousness and self-preservation. Put them together, you have the human instinct to live. Assigning that to your heart, your human heart, and making your human heart more important than clarity, than consciousness, than self-observation. Well, that is one of the biggest mistakes we make in this world and in our lifetime. And in my opinion, there is no way any of us are willing to drop all that. There's just too much pride in it for the human being. That's why we have to transcend and live in love beyond the ideals of right and wrong. I gotta go. I'm losing time here. Herb, forgive me for that one, eh? Namaste. I hope this helped you. I really do. We'll be back on the air next week. Come to the website at aspire.org. Take a gander. There's lots there for you if you're interested. We'll be on next week. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.